Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Camp Lejeune Command, a memoir by Lieutenant Colonel Kenneth Dunn, describes his life as an artillery battalion commander at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, during the early 1990s. The book starts the summer before the family moves to Jacksonville, North Carolina, while stationed at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. He describes his daily activities and the feelings associated with those activities while commanding the 5th Battalion, 10th Marines, 2nd Marine Division, a great read about command, family, and, of course, the United States Marine Corps. Kenneth Dunn is a native of Louisville, Kentucky. Upon his graduation from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1974, he was commissioned 2nd Lieutenant, served in the U.S. Marine Corps for 30 years, retiring in July of 2004. In retirement, Dr. Dunn has worked as a civilian analyst at Headquarters U.S. Marine Corps, now serves in the Manpower Plans and Policy Division, Manpower and Reserve Affairs Headquarters U.S. Marine Corps. He earned two master's degrees, one in human resources management, the other in national security strategy, as well as a Doctor of Education degree. His present position is the Director Marine Corps Leadership Seminar, which is an outreach effort to showcase Marine Corps leadership to select diverse colleges and universities in the United States. In 2012, Dr. Dunn began and continues to work as an adjunct professor at Marine Corps University, teaching command and staff college students. He was inducted into the Alumni Hall of Fame, Boys and Girls Clubs of America, in May of 2011. Kenneth Dunn, author of Camp Lejeune Command, Commander's Notes 1992 to 1995, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Dunn, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Hey, Rick, it's my pleasure talking to you today. Thank you.
What a distinguished career that you've had, and so much to talk about during the course of the program today. And again, I'll advise you to go to Amazon.com, any of the places, and pick up a copy of Camp Lejeune Command, a fascinating read by Kenneth Dunn, our guest on the program. Talk about getting involved in writing. When did you decide to write this book, and go back and look at those several years out of your career and the impact they had on you?
Well, Rick, to be honest with you, I've kept a journal probably since 1985 or 1986. That is a daily journal. And so I had been writing this journal well before I took command of 5th Battalion, 10th Marines. And I had told myself when I went into command that I was going to write about it one day. I wasn't sure what the context was going to be, but I did want to record the things that happen and the things that you think about as a battalion commander in the Marine Corps. So after I retired from the Marine Corps in 2004 and obtained my Doctorate of Education degree in 2008, I had begun to teach, and I noticed that we did not have very many memoirs or first-person analysis of command and my research and teaching. So I decided in 2012 or so that I was going to write a book about command in 5th Battalion, 10th Marines, and I used my notes from the personal journal that I had been keeping for at that time 20 years.
That's amazing. So these are all events you're not recalling from memory. These are events that you recall from looking at the journal. You kept all of that. What a remarkable foresight to be able to go back and use those notes in the book. The book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Camp Lejeune Command, Commander's Notes, 1992 to 1995. It's interesting because it is different than other memoirs. You are taking us behind the scenes of the military, and we hear all of these titles thrown around, and for many people, they're not quite sure exactly what that means. What was your role as a battalion commander? What all did that encompass?
Well, the military services invest a lot of time and energy in individuals that they designate to command their different units. As a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps, the command level is battalion command, which is normally 800 to 1,200 U.S. Marines and sailors who have a specific mission, that is to to prepare for combat through this artillery battalion. At Camp Lejeune during this period of time, I was a battalion commander. I had approximately 900 Marines and sailors under my charge, and my mission was to ensure that they're combat ready at all times. And that's a heavy responsibility for a lieutenant colonel to have. But the Marine Corps ensures you have the experience, the knowledge, the expertise, and the support in order to accomplish this mission. And so I felt very, very privileged and honored to command an artillery battalion at Camp Lejeune. There were four at Camp Lejeune at the time, and I had the honor of commanding one of them. And I commanded it from roughly June of 1993 to June of 1995. So it was a great experience, and I simply wanted to share my thoughts and my feelings of commanding the battalion with whomever wants to read my book.
And it's a Tell It Like It Is book, isn't it? You really give us your thoughts on what you were going through. It's very honest. I think that's why the book is resonating so well and doing so well. Excellently reviewed is because you are telling it like it is. How important was that for you? If I'm going to tell my story, I need to really share my feelings, my thoughts.
Well, from the memoirs that I have read, particularly the military, they're normally written by a third person.
Yes,
that is someone who comes in and sits down with that officer or that soldier, sailor, Air Force, airman, or Marines, and says, "Hey, listen, tell us about your command." Well, in my case, I just decided that I would convey the thoughts and the feelings that I had in a day-to-day operation, day-to-day care and maintenance of this artillery battalion. And what I believe makes my book different is that I record the actual feelings that I had at the time that these events occurred. This was not revisionist. This was not me looking back on the things that I felt when different things happened in the battalion. When they happened, I wrote them down, and said, "Hey, listen, this is pretty much how a journal works." All right, at the time that I recorded these different things in my journal, I did not know that I was going to use them to write a book about commanding a battalion. But, you know, I teach at Quantico, and I tell my students all the time, I said, listen, you may not think that you want to write later on because now you're captains, majors, and lieutenant colonels, but one day you just might. And one thing I will pass on to you is that you won't be able to write a comprehensive book about what you have done if you don't keep notes. So I encourage my students to keep notes, and says you may want to write a book about it one day, and you may not, but you will not be able to if you don't have notes. So that's what I that's the thought process that I had, and it just worked out well for me because I did in fact take the time and record all those things that happened and the things that you think about as a battalion commander. And the other part of my book is that I not only recorded the things I'm doing as a Marine Corps officer, but also as a family man. That is, at the time that we were at Camp Lejeune, my wife Connie and I, we had three children in the house. You know, they've since left, of course, but they were all, you know, they, we had pre-teenagers and a teenager in the house. And you know, all the things that these youngsters do. I had two daughters and a son, and all the things that they're involved in, you know, school and soccer and baseball and basketball, all those things are recorded in our lives there at Camp Lejeune, which was very, very good, by the way.
It's such an interesting read. We get to see a different facet of the military, as Dr. Dunn is talking about the family man that we really don't see as we're looking at the military leaders as we see them. Another aspect that's I find fascinating is you're continually preparing for the next battle. What are some of the risks of a peacetime command? When you think about it, there's maybe not a sense of urgency because we're not at war. We're not preparing for a war that's around that we can see coming at us at peacetime. Wow, what are the challenges of keeping everybody ready? Because you really don't know what's going to happen. I think you went through that during the World Trade Center, for example.
Well, I think that because the Marine Corps' mission is to be the most ready when perhaps a country is the least ready. That's a fundamental mission of the United States Marine Corps to ensure that you're ready, and so it wasn't very, very difficult to use that mentality in training your Marines. You just there's a very real accountability issue when you command units in the military. That is, you know, you're responsible for what they do and what they don't do. And so, and then there is the aspect that you want to do the very best that you can to train your Marines, so that if we are in fact called into some type of combat situation, that you've done your best to ensure that they're well trained, and that you want to enhance their chances of survival, just by training them and ensuring that they know that you're going to take care of them as long as they accomplish their mission.
Our guest on the program is Dr. Kenneth Dunn. That's D-U-N-N. His book is Camp Lejeune Command, Commander's Notes, 1992 through 1995. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You talk very honestly in the book about a continual debate for decades on how to increase the numbers of minority battalion and squadron leaders. How were we doing with that? Were you satisfied in the early 90s where we were? And are you satisfied now where we are?
Well, I can honestly say that the work that our officers in the Marine Corps had done in the early 90s and the late 90s have ultimately paid off. We have a lot more minority officers doing a lot of great things in the Marine Corps. We now have a Black four-star general in the Marine Corps. Now he worked for me, by the way.
Interesting.
In the 80s, General Michael Langley. I was a major, and he was a first lieutenant when he worked for me. So, in a lot of ways, I can't say he's done trained, but I do in fact say, hey, listen, I'm going to take just a little bit of credit.
You need to, of course,
for his success. But I would say that the Marine Corps has come a long way, leaps and bounds from the Marine Corps that. When I was a battalion commander, you know, there are tremendous opportunities available for men and women in the Marine Corps now. You know, before this time, women were not allowed in combat arms, but now they are standing members and commanding officers and our combat MOS artillery battalions, not necessarily artillery, but other battalions. So the Marine Corps has come a long way in this regard. Not saying that we've come all the way, but I can honestly say that the work that we did, you know, coming through the Marine Corps up until 2004, certainly helped pave the way for a much better, much stronger Marine Corps that is more diverse.
Yes.
Today.
You know, I mentioned the distinguished career that you've had and continue to have in your teaching role with the young military leaders of tomorrow. From a personal standpoint, you've seen so much. Born in Kentucky in 1952, several years before the civil rights movement, as most of us know it, as Rosa Parks was refusing to give up a seat, you talk about how you were the back of the bus with your mother and brother on your way to nursery school every day. You've actually experienced a lot of changes, haven't you?
Yeah, I would, you know, You know, baby boomers born, right after World War II, and I was born in 1952. We have seen a lot. You know, we've seen a lot in our country. Born in Louisville, Kentucky, which was a segregated Louisville when we were born. As I said in my book, my brother and I, we rode on the bus with my mother going to nursery school across town as youngsters, and then we went to all black Catholic schools up into the seventh grade. Downtown Louisville, we had segregated movie theaters, lunch counters, etc. But a lot of times when you're born in that environment, you don't know the difference because all you know is what your neighborhood allows you to know. So being raised in Louisville and going to, living in an all black environment and then gradually being integrated into schools, particularly middle school and high school, and then eventually earning an appointment to the United States Naval Academy. I didn't discover until much later on that I was the first black student from the state of Kentucky to go to the Naval Academy. I did not know that until I began to teach and I began to research all the things, military history that I teach now. So I've seen a lot, but I can honestly say that most of what I've seen has been very, very positive in our country.
Where did this desire to be in the Marine Corps, to be in the military, to serve your country, to get into the Naval Academy? I was going to say that was not easy, particularly a young black male from Kentucky, obviously the first one to do that. Where did this desire come from, to the motivation to go to the Naval Academy and to be able to get into the Naval Academy?
You know, it's interesting. I've often wondered how that happened, but I, one of the things I said at my during the ceremony when I went into the Boys and Girls Club Hall of Fame down in New Orleans, I said I was a nerd when I was a youngster. I was one of those guys that did well in school. I enjoyed education, but not everyone appreciated that. So in a lot of ways, I was seen as a nerd. But I do recall in the all-black Catholic school that I was attending in Louisville, which is St. Augustine, it's on 13th and Broadway. The school is no longer there, but the church is still there. And I do remember seeing, reading from a book in the fourth grade, where they showed a picture of a midshipman with the Naval Academy Chapel dome behind him with a jet flying overhead. Now, why that stuck with me, I do not know. All right, but our books came from our books originated from the Catholic Press in Baltimore, so it sort of made sense because Baltimore is only about 30 miles.
Yes.
From Apple, so, but that stayed with me, and I'd always said, I wonder what Annapolis is like. What is what the Naval Academy is like? And so it was in my probably in my mind's eye for a number of years, and it wasn't until once I got in high school, and I had I had the academic, obviously, apparently I had the academic preparation, and I played football, and then things just came together. And And out of high school, I had a number of offers, both academically and athletically. And it seemed to me that both those circles intersected going to the Naval Academy. So my junior year, we began to work on preparing me to go to college. I'd always said that I'm going to use whatever skills that I have to go to college. And I wanted to leave the state of Kentucky because I just said that there's a big world out there and I like to see it, and so when by my senior year, we're really through a lot of effort by my high school, Valley High School, as well as my parents, because my father was he's a soldier, all right, and he had served in Korea and two tours in Vietnam, so they helped to give me the motivation to go to to Naval Academy as opposed to maybe a civilian institution.
What an interesting career. Our guest on the program is Dr. Kenneth Dunn, D-U-N-N. The book is Camp Lejeune Command, Commander's Notes, 1992 through 1995. A few minutes left in the program. You close the book, and this is information that can help all of us as we try to find that roadmap for success. We can follow yours, and you give us Dunn's rules at the end. What are several things that you'd like to share with us that we all could gain something from?
Well, first of all, I do want to basically say that I patterned Dunn's rules after Colin Powell's rules in his book, My American Journey, which he published in 1995.
Oh, yes.
And so there was he had 13 rules that once I read his book, I copied those rules and put them on my desk, you know, for the rest of the time that I was in the Marine Corps. And so when I retired, I said, you know, I said, it would be good if during my retirement ceremony, if I could give, you know, the audience some ideas of what I thought about leadership and what it would take, to be successful, but these were only, you know, these were things that I believed in, and so I want folks to keep that in mind, and then when it comes to developing rules, they should develop their own rules. But so at my retirement ceremony, I said if Colin Powell can can give us 13 rules, I can give us 15.
Very good, very good.
A couple of things that I point out in my rules. Very first is I say get organized. That's rule number one. Coming down here, and this is something I just recited at a funeral yesterday that said, if you can do nothing else, set a good example because someone is watching. That's rule number four. Number seven, no Marine wants to stand out for the wrong reason. Number eight, keep God in your life. He makes a difference. Number 10, the saddest tale is the I wish I had tale. That is, you don't want to get in the habit of looking back and saying, I wish I'd done this, I wish I'd done that. Take a bold step and do those things that you feel like that you need to do. Number 11, which is knowing the right thing to do is easy. The hard part is doing this. And this is the only phrase or sentence in my entire book that I took from someone else. And that's General Norman Schwarzkopf in his book, it's Not That Hard. But I borrowed that from General Schwarzkopf, but I do give him credit in the book, by the way. And the last is number 15, which says, and don't ever cheat the Marine Corps. Lives are at stake. So those are things that I include in my 15 Dunn's rules.
The book is such an excellent read. Camp Lejeune Command, Commander's Notes, 1992 through 1995 by Kenneth D. Dunn, the author and our guest on the program. A minute or so left. What do you hope the takeaway is as we read through these books? I'm not a military person, but fascinated by what I was reading. This book is for everybody. What do you hope the lesson is, the takeaway is for the reader?
I think what people to keep in mind is, you know, these are the notes of a 42-year-old lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps who happens to be a Black American. He sees things probably differently, okay, but we all see things differently, and it depends on the lenses that we have, that we are carrying or using at those times. But what I would like folks to appreciate is that, you know, a lot of us who serve in these positions, we're, number one, we're patriotic, number two, we're trying to do the very best that we can, number three, we appreciate the things that America has offered us, and we're willing to fight for it. The other thing I would say is that the family piece is very, very important because we don't often hear from folks who talk about what they do when they learn their daughter has a knee injury, you know, and what happens then, or you attend a Christmas party and people begin to talk about their children, but won't allow you to say too much about your own. You know, those are the types of things
yes.
that I record in this journal, in this book, and I just ask folks to think about those things and maybe put them in context of the things that they do in their lives.
Well, the book is so well written, will touch the reader on so many levels. I'm just going to conclude here. You teach. You're in with the leaders, the military leaders of tomorrow. Are we in good hands going forward?
Absolutely. I think that our education system in the military is very, very thorough. Accountability is very, very important to the military. Therefore, people are very, very conscious and very careful of the things that they do and the things that they say and how they act. I was telling some of the youngsters that I teach, I said, I think particularly in the Marine Corps, I think we're in great shape because we have men and women, all right,
yes.
who are doing a lot of great things. And I call them today's officer. You know, they're smart, they're inquisitive, they're courageous, all right? And they seem to, in my humble opinion, they seem to carry those things that we think are very, very important in order to achieve success, you know, whether it's a battalion command or a personal success. Because really, once all of us are done with our military service, we come out and serve the American community at large.
Well, you're doing that, and such a great example. I mentioned retired in 2004, and I'm thinking, retired from what? You've got to be busier today than you've ever been. It sounds like in giving back to the country and to the young people and giving them guidance. And now this message is available for all of us in Dr. Dunn's book, Camp Lejeune Command, Commander's Notes, 1992 through 1995 by Kenneth D. Dunn, D-U-N-N. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. I'd like to thank Reading Glass Books for arranging our conversation today. And if you go to our website, you can link on directly to Dr. Dunn's page on Amazon and order the book there as well. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. So much more we can talk about. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
All right, Rick. Thank you very much. And have a good day. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you for spending some time with us. Kenneth D. Dunn, our guest. The book is Camp Lejeune Command, Commander's Notes, 1992 through 1995. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, and, of course, our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.